Anyone been shopping in the last month or so? Of course, we have all been to the shops at some point. Most of you will notice, and I was going to talk about this last week, we ran out of time. Plenty of Halloween decorations around at the moment, and it's coming up in a couple of weeks on a Friday night this year. Before I was a pastor, I was a fruit and veg manager at Woolworths, and I remember about 15, 20 years ago, and I remember the first time that we got sent some carving pumpkins at Woolies. And they came out of the blue, and we got about 30 pumpkins in, put them on display for about $30 each or whatever they were, and then at the end of the 6 or 8 weeks that the Halloween promotional period went for, we ended up throwing out about 30 pumpkins because literally no one was interested at that point in buying a $30 pumpkin, carving it, when they had no idea really of what Halloween was about apart from what they saw on movies or other bits and pieces. People just weren't that interested at that period of time of having Halloween decorations shoved down their throat. But each year that's gone on since then, there's more and more of an interest around this. And by many retailers, they see this as simply another opportunity to merchandise, to make some more money. That's why it exists in their space. And that's why we see it more and more today. But I thought it'd be helpful for me to share a little bit about the origins of Halloween, why it is the way it is today. And then how do we respond as Christians to an event like this, which becomes increasingly popular? The principle behind it is this, that we as believers and as we trust in what the Word says, that we are to be the salt and the light. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to impact the world we are in and not be impacted by it. And so here's the history of Halloween. Where did it begin? Well, it began as an ancient Celtic festival, which coincided with the end of the harvest period and the introduction into winter. And this was well before Jesus' time here on earth. So we're going back many, 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 many years. The Celts believed at this time that on October 31st, that the boundary between this pagan belief, the boundary between the living and dead was at its thinnest that it would be. And so with that, they thought, well, the spirits of the dead are going to return and they're going to wreak havoc in our crops and maybe they have bad relationships. And so they're going to come and they're going to make mischief with all of these things of ours. And so they then thought, well, to put away with those, we will light bonfires and we will dress up with animal skins and we will sacrifice to our gods to ward off these evil spirits. Then, as Jesus comes and Christianity starts to move its way into these different regions, what happens? Well, the church goes in, sees this festival that's happening and thinks, well, we can actually do something about this and we can try to redeem this festival so that it has a positive slant on it. And so what they do is they bring what they already had, which was a date which was about remembering the fallen saints, those that were believers that had passed away in the past, and we remember what they've done and we honor them, and they brought it forward and did it on November the 1st, and this was called All Saints Day or All Hallows Day. And so the date before that was called then All Hallows Eve, later shortened to Halloween. This is where it comes from. Over time, however, we've got to note this, that what was endeavored to be redeemed, still just local customs came in again. And though the best intentions of the church remained to redeem this day, some of the practices became warped in their outworking. And then to bring it forward to today, in 1800s, Scottish travellers brought these traditions to the United States. These traditions about carving pumpkins and costume wearing and pranks and all of this sort of stuff. And what was once a time of superstition and spirituality, here's where we need to note, it had a fresh coat of paint as a community and children's event. The origins of which did not change, but the fresh coat of paint made it feel different to people, especially in the States. And what we are experiencing today in the last 15 to 20 years is a largely secular and commercial movement from the United States that we are now adopting here in Australia, primarily to begin with for marketing reasons. So what we have today is a blend of pagan symbols, of Christian vocabulary, and of modern entertainment. So what do we do with this? How do we respond? How do we make our way through this? And I had much to say on this, but I simply want to simplify this and say this, that with a lot of things in the Word of God, a lot of things that we experience on earth, we have three options. We either redeem it, we reject it, we redeem it, or we receive it. Do we reject this? Do we redeem this, Or do we receive this? And as we read through Scripture, and again, we understand that our whole goal in life as followers of Christ is to honor and to glorify Him. And we ask that question, does this glorify God? Because there's no Scripture that explicitly states that you should not participate or involve yourself in Halloween or celebrate it even. But it does tell us how to discern. We look at the fruit and we understand the spirit behind something. So what is the fruit? In terms of the front fruit of Halloween, I walked into a retailer about 6 weeks ago, it was a long time ago, with a couple of my kids, and we are just greeted with these images of death, right? And how they're designed is to produce fear, especially in the kids, but in everyone around. And we need to remember that fear is not a fruit of the Spirit. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. And I want to ask you this, is there anything about Halloween that screams love to you? No, it's fear. It's a fear-based death that's represented. And another line of this that unfortunately more worrying than this is that it actually downplays the eternal consequences of death itself and trivializes that, its nature. But I also know for some of them, when they think about the fruit, and especially if you have no context and you see this and people in your neighborhood are celebrating and kids are out and about, some would say the fruit of this is seeing our kids dress up as a superhero and going around our friendly neighborhood and collecting lollies. And one would ask, like, what's the harm in that? What's wrong with that? Well, understanding the spirit behind an event is equally important in our efforts to discern the level of our involvement in something, which leads us to the more sinister or underlying fruit of Halloween. There's no denying the influence of evil and of the occult in Halloween. And October 31st is one of two main festivals in the Wiccan calendar, which is celebrated by witches. And as part of my research, I read something so that you don't have to, which was A Witch's Guide to Halloween. And in brief, it discussed the ways of celebrating this day by inviting the spirits of dead people into your homes to communicate with those and just other occult practices. But one really struck out to me, that they said because of the accepted nature of dressing up in society, that as a witch, you can then go out under the guise of Halloween to perform your mischief. And we've got to understand this, that as it's children that are mainly involved in this celebration of Halloween. And if the other side of what we are fighting against in the spiritual sense is saying, hey, this is the greatest opportunity, one of the greatest opportunities you have to go undetected and perform mischief, we need to be aware of that as families and of those who have influence over our children. And this points to one of Satan's main goals in his operation, his existence in the world, is either to stay completely hidden so that we don't even think he exists, or to trivialize his evil nature so that more and more people would become blind to his work. So the question becomes, is Halloween evil? Well, October 31st, as a day, is not evil. It's not even the event, I don't think, that is evil, that we could say. It's the practices and it's the removal of God from the throne that makes things evil. The Bible warns us to have nothing to do with evil, to destroy idols in our lives. And if something that glorifies things that are satanic or it trivializes the devil, then we ought to be able to discern that and have nothing to do with it. And this applies not only to a night on the calendar that we might have questions over, but sometimes I think that as believers, we cannot be attuned to what the Spirit wants, and instead of not participating in an event that's out there, we are even doing a worse job by what we actually allow into our home through the consumption of the different things that we are a part of. And so let me encourage you to be continually discerning, not only about this, but whatever else is going on in our lives. So how should we as God-fearing Christ followers respond? To celebrate Halloween would be to honor its pagan roots and practices, which are contrary to Scripture. God cannot honor that. But then there's a question of whether we should not just celebrate, but should we participate in it at all? And this is where I believe that each person has to come to their own conviction on this. And I was just speaking to different churches a couple of weeks ago, and the question was asked, like, what are you doing in place of, or to give people an alternative, or to redeem that day? And we've got to just be careful that we're not tolerating or partaking in something that God wants us to have nothing to do with. This year, fortunately, Halloween is on a Friday night, which means our kids' programs are running, and there is a great life-giving opportunity for our kids to be a part of. Youth is running that night. For our teenagers, there is a life-giving program that they can be a part of. And so there are, it's not just about redeeming a day, it's about God cutting it back to baseline and going, how do you want me to honor you? How can I glorify you through this period of time that we are a part of? So that's all I wanted to say about that. Let's continue to pray just for our local communities and understanding that people come from different backgrounds and have different contexts to that. So we have these conversations with love and with grace, understanding that everyone has a different foundation for their thinking on this. So.